This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits, one that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hi, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Research shows the good bacteria in your gut can help combat Alzheimer's, thyroid, and autoimmune disease. It's even been shown to prevent cancer. Scientists recently analyzed the gut flora of healthy people living to 100 years of age and found they had microbiomes of a 30-year-old. Could your gut hold the secret to longevity? Kim and I will discuss this new research and also share how a lack of sleep may be killing you. We'll also cover the latest trend, having your eyeballs tattooed. Yes, people are having the whites of their eyes permanently tattooed. Just how safe is this? Don't go anywhere. We'll discuss these topics and more, and it all starts now.
It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Bar Nguyen.
Our first headline comes from Science Daily. In one of the largest studies conducted in humans on gut bacteria, researchers at Western University and Lawson Health Research Institute have shown a potential link between healthy aging and a healthy gut. Individuals in a variety of age ranges from 3 to over 100 years old were selected. The criteria included being extremely healthy with no known health issues and no family history of disease. The results showed a direct correlation between health and the microbes in the intestine. The gut bacteria of the healthy group was similar to that of people decades younger. Those healthy over 90 years of age had the gut flora of a 30-year-old. Kim, there's so much science linking virtually every disease to our guts, and now we can add longevity to this list. What are your thoughts?
Oh, this is such a good one, and it's so true. I think that, you know, people don't realize that it is such a powerful thing, you know, keeping our gut healthy. I mean, there's 100 million or so nerve cells that line our gastrointestinal tract. It helps your mental health. I mean, 90% of our body serotonin is made in the digestive tract. So it keeps you healthy. It keeps you happy. There's so many benefits to really paying attention to this issue.
Right. And, you know, the scientists summed it up real nicely. They concluded maintaining a healthy gut flora is a biomarker of healthy aging, just like cholesterol is a biomarker for a healthy circulatory system. So it's going to be like the key factor now for determining health.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many things that it determines. I mean, it helps vitamin and mineral absorption, hormone regulation, digestion. It helps eliminate toxins. And there's so many ways that we can actually, you know, promote good health in our gut, eating lots of fruits and vegetables, beans, legumes, things that are high in fiber. It promotes the growth of beneficial gut bacteria, eating fermented foods like tempeh, kombucha, yogurt. You know, things like that are really going to be beneficial to getting the good bacteria in your stomach.
Yeah, and it did mention that these healthy old people did have that in common, that they eat foods that contain the probiotics, and you said a few examples. Another one that they mentioned was apple cider vinegar, cultured vegetables, and kombucha, and some also added probiotic supplements. Kim, are you an advocate of probiotics?
You know what? When I tend to be on antibiotics for any reason, I do tend to look toward probiotics to really help kind of get things back going, and then I stop taking them and then just, you know, load up on the foods that are going to help me. But I do tend to, just because I think antibiotics really kind of strip your gut of the good bacteria. So I will in that case.
Right. And, you know, you're probably too young to remember this, Kim, but back when probiotics were first introduced, they were actually used to what you just said as a remedy for either diarrhea after taking antibiotics or for people that visited a country with sketchy water. Today, it's become like a common treatment for Alzheimer's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, depression, obesity, even eczema. So, Kim, all this kind of makes sense considering 75% of our immune system lives in the gut.
Exactly. And, you know, it can change things in your body. Like, you know, when you get headaches or fatigue or joint pain, you know, it's your gut is probably irritated. It's trying to process this, you know, overly processed food system that we have now. So your body gets sensitive to it. And one of the big things that can help is, and we talk about the dangers of artificial sweeteners, but that's a big one is, you know, cutting these artificial foods that your gut can't recognize so well as real food, you know, that would be a big thing to help.
Yeah. And, you know, I share a little trivia that you think everyone would know, but it's kind of interesting to a lot of people. The word biotic means life and the word anti means against. So by definition, the word antibiotic means against life. Folks, that means death. Probiotics, on the other hand, by definition, mean for life, which is why they're helpful at rejuvenating the gut flora after taking a round of destructive antibiotics. So you just look at sometimes the word, the meaning of the words, Kim, and it kind of tells you what they mean.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just kind of using your common sense. But yeah, this was a good eye opener. And it just, you know, reminded me to really keep track because, you know, I tend to get stressed and anxiety. And if I can do anything in my power to combat any of that, you know, I will. So, you know, loading up on these good foods and knowing that nutritionally I'm doing all I can for my body so that my body's, you know, healthy and strong and working for me and not against me.
Right. And for those of you with celiac disease or gluten sensitivity, if you're taking probiotics, I need to share some information that you need to chew on. According to the Celiac Disease Center at Columbia University, more than half of the top-selling probiotic supplements contain gluten. Even those with the gluten-free on the label, in 2015, their team of scientists analyzed 22 of the best-selling probiotic supplements from Amazon and several national retail chains. They found 12 of the supplements, that's 55%, contained detectable levels of gluten. 8 of these 12 products carried gluten-free claims on the label. So if you have celiac disease instead of supplements, you definitely want to consider eating probiotic foods instead. Isn't that scary, Kim? Think about that, you know, these people, poor celiac disease, which they can't have gluten, but they have bad guts, so they're taking probiotics, and it's poisoning them, and they don't even know.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. It's like this catch-22. They don't, you know, they don't understand. They're trying to heal, and they're just making themselves worse. Yeah, that's really bad.
It's kind of like putting a fire out with gasoline. And these people, you know, how many months are they sick saying right now? Maybe we just helped a lot of people go, oh, my God, that's why I'm not getting better.
Exactly. That was really good, right?
Yeah. You know, of all the questions I get about supplements, the majority are on probiotics. People ask, what's the number of organisms? What type of strain? Do they need to be refrigerated? Since we don't have time to answer all those questions on the show, I did write a blog post called Everything You Need to Know About Probiotics. And you can read that on our website, toyourgoodhealthradio.com. So that'll give you everything you need to know, which we can't cover here because it'd probably take 2 hours. But great topic. Let's go to our next headlines from Washington Post. Tattoos are more popular than ever. People get them on their faces, bodies, and even their genitals. Now, eyeball tattoos have become the new trend. That's right, eyeballs. It's called sclera staining, in which ink is injected into the white part of the eye. How safe is it? Well, recently a professional model had an eyeball tattooed purple, and now she's partially blind and in excruciating pain. She shared her photos on social media, and they've gone viral. Now, Kim, you're pro tattoos. What's your take on people having their eyeballs inked?
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I don't even know how anyone in their rational mind, no offense to the lovely, you know, people that are doing this, I'm sure you have your reasons, but I don't understand those reasons. I think it's crazy. I mean, just the thought alone of having any needle near my eyeball freaks me out, let alone, you know, something that's going to be permanent. I don't understand any of it. None of it.
I don't understand any of it either. And I got to tell you, I have a patient who's tattooed from the top of his head to his toes. He has metal studs, Kim, embedded into his forehead, cheek earrings, and he had his tongue split in the center, which gives him this serpent tongue, which is popular. He has sharp metal horns coming out of his nose. I'm telling you, he scares everybody that walks into my waiting room, especially the children. Here's the kicker, Kim. Here's the kicker. He's the most soft-spoken, sweetest, polite person I've ever met. A happily married computer programmer with two awesome little boys. And I asked him, you know, we've gotten close. I said, what's your motivation for covering up all your skin with ink and doing everything you've done? And he told me something interesting. He said it allows him to be something he is not, a wild rebel. So I guess it's kind of like Halloween, right? Wearing a mask to become something that you're not. And I'm trying to get in the head of these folks, but I'm sure there's other motivations for others. But that was his motive. He wants to be,
I guess. That's a good answer.
Yeah, so he's
literally... I've had people ask me, too, about that. You know, they say, oh, you're a pretty little girl. Why would you even think of doing tattoos? You know, a lot of old men ask me this. And,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. For me, it symbolizes a really big event in my life or just something that I really need to mark in my life that's happened, whether it's, you know, I have one tattoo. My son, it was the way he draws people, and it was a really cute, funny tattoo. I've had people take pictures of it, put it on Instagram. It's a really cute tattoo, and they're all very meaningful and purposeful and well thought out. But you know, you either get one and you're completely addicted, or you get one and you're like, oh, that's just enough. You know, I don't need needles to be anywhere near me again. In my case, I really like them.
Yeah, and you bring up the word that's so important. You said meaningful. That means it means something. And, you know, these tattoos are permanent. So before you have your boyfriend's name tattooed on your stomach, you may want to consider that. If you break up, what's going to happen to your next guy you date? And, you know, and it makes me wonder, Kim, how many people in their late 30s regret the Backstreet Boys tattoo that they got on their arm when they were younger?
Right, exactly. I do have a rule that unless it's my son's name, which I do have on me, I don't do people's names. I don't believe in divorce. I love my husband, but I, you know, will never get a name tattooed on me. I just feel like that's almost jinxing things. So I stay clear of the names.
Yeah, you know, I did meet someone with a very interesting tattoo, even though it was dated. On his arm, he had a tattoo of Tattoo the Midget. Do you remember him from Fantasy Island, or am I showing my age, Kim?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I love that show.
Yeah, but get this. So anyway, this tattoo of Tattoo the Midget had a tattoo on his arm of Tattoo the Midget. And on Tattoo's arm, there was a tattoo of Tattoo the Midget. So to recap, on this man's arm, he had a tattoo of Tattoo wearing a tattoo of Tattoo wearing a tattoo of Tattoo. Try saying that five times real fast. It was really, it just went on and on and on. And it reminded me when I was, I remember back when I was a kid, yes, we went to McDonald's as a kid, folks. And my mom used to get us these cookies, the animal cookies. And Ronald McDonald actually held a box of animal cookies. And on that box of animal cookies was Ronald McDonald holding a box of animal cookies. And on that box, and I would stare at it and say, Mom, would this go forever? It just kept going. And that's what this tattoo was like. It was so interesting.
That is so funny. You know, and I think, you know, going back to the eyeball thing, I hope that this woman's experience, the model's experience with it, will prompt people to avoid doing something like that. Because I can't imagine her experiencing pain and blindness right now and how horrible that must be to have known that you've done this to yourself and not sure why tattoo artists are okay doing this in the first place. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Just had to put that out there, too.
And I'll let you know if that patient I told you about comes in with purple eyes next time. I'm worried when I read that. I said he's going to come in with horns out of his forehead and his eyes are going to be purple.
I'm wondering if he's all for this eyeball tattoo. You should ask him about that, too.
Well, I don't have to ask him. I'll probably be able to see it when he comes in.
Yeah, right.
So to close this topic, I think Kim and I both agree, don't tattoo your eyeballs. It's not safe, folks, anywhere else, but not your eyeballs. Okay, I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, am I really having to say that? Do people really not realize that it's probably not a good idea? Anyway, that's great. So let's go to our next headline. Could a lack of sleep be killing you? Research shows that if you're not achieving deep restorative sleep, you might end up 6 feet under. According to the Center for Human Sleep Science at the University of California, sleep deprivation affects every aspect of our biology and is the culprit behind a host of potentially fatal diseases. Lack of sleep is associated with high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, heart failure, and heart attack. A 2011 study from Warwick Medical School found that less than 6 hours of sleep per night gives you a 48% greater chance of developing or dying from heart disease. If you're overweight and you don't sleep at least 6 hours per night, your risk of having a stroke quadruples. Kim, do you get the recommended 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night, or does this have you a little concerned?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned because, you know, they say 1 in 3 people suffers from poor sleep, and I'm one of those people. And, it's really, really hard, and I've been, you know, reading up on it and trying things. I really don't sleep well at night anymore. The older I get, there tends to be some women issues, like the hot flashes. Yeah. Women out there can relate. That's so much fun. So, you know, but it really does affect you in so many ways. Lack of sleep also raises levels of hormones that can stimulate your appetite. So sometimes, you know, I'm finding that in the middle of the night, all I want to do is eat. So, you know, I was kind of looking into that. And that, again, can contribute to weight gain. And think about your cognitive function, you know, right. Being able to be alert and concentrate, problem solve. There's so many things that this affects. So, you know, lack of sleep, you know, my husband knows how terrible of a sleeper I am, and he saw some show on TV, and he comes to me and he says, you know, you got to figure out some better ways to sleep because I'm scared. I don't want to lose you early. You know, you got to start sleeping better.
Right. And you bring up a good point about the weight, because when you sleep, as you experience, there's a hormone called ghrelin. I call it ghrelin the felon because it makes you hungry. So when you're up and your brain, your body's active and you're not sleeping, it gets hungry. When you shut down, it's kind of like how bears hibernate. You know, you don't eat, but when you're awake and then the next day, it's like you've ran a marathon in your mind body and you get hungry each day. And sometimes 3 a.m, as you picked up on that. But, you know, sleep's no doubt important. Let's share with the listeners a few tips that, you know, maybe will help them sleep deep restorative each night. One thing I recommend is keep the room as dark as possible. That means no night lights or cell phone lights. And the big no-no, Kim, is blue lights. You know, that Walmart's, is it the Kmart special? No blue lights. The color blue actually signals your pineal gland that it's daytime and it keeps you from falling asleep, especially deep restorative sleep. What's one of your favorite sleep tips, Kim?
One thing I really like is I try to get lavender essential oil, and I kind of drizzle it on my pillow a little bit. And, you know, I try to eliminate as much noise as possible. When my son was little, we lived in L.A., and it was so loud in our neighborhood. We used a white noise machine, and we all kind of really liked that because it was just this weird, crazy white noise, but it's so good for sleep. My son would pass out in a second once he heard that. So I try to make sure outside noise is kind of, you know, drowned down a little bit. And, you know, they say to drink, you know, warm milk or some, you know, herbal tea before bed, but I had to stop doing that because it actually just made me have to get up a million times and go to the bathroom when I should be trying to fall asleep. So I kind of had to drink the chamomile tea hours before bedtime.
Yeah, and, you know, back when you said eliminate the noise, I use these foam rubber inserts in your ear. And the reason I use this, Kim, is I used to get up at 5:15 a.m. every morning for no reason. I would just get up. I didn't know why. I'd wake up, and I'd say, why am I waking up at this time? Well, one morning I woke up at 5 a.m. to go to the bathroom, and I was laying there in bed at 5:15 awake, and I heard my neighbor's loud truck drive by. It was the noise waking me up. So I used these foam earplugs, and now I sleep past 5:15.
That's a really good idea. You know, another thing, too, is, you know, following a routine, like trying to go to bed at the same time every night, trying to wake up at the same time, like having that routine, your body kind of gets into it. And I'm really, really, I have a good routine. So I'm, you know, trying to keep that up and maybe get more exercise during the day as well so that I feel more tired, when it's bedtime.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, you brought up the chamomile tea, and you mentioned the warm liquids that can keep you up. And what I've actually done is I actually cool my tea down now. I don't drink it warm, or drink it 90 minutes before bed warm. But you're right, that warm fluid can keep you up. So cold chamomile tea before bed instead of hot. You know, just put some ice cubes in there.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that I try to do, too, you know, you said having a dark room, a dark cool room, and I really like having it pretty cold, which is my husband's dismay because I'm, you know, covers on, covers off, covers on, covers off. It's a nice battle every night. But, you know, I find that if my bedroom is dark and cool, I tend to have a better sleep. But it's tough because I do have a 10-year-old and he does wander in the bedroom and I don't feel well or I have to do this. And so we keep a nightlight on so, you know, he can see to come into the room. Right. And the nightlight is a little disturbing. I'm so used to it, but I think that could probably be harming my sleep a little bit as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, being cold. That's so important because you sleep better when it's cool. When you get hot and you sweat, it irritates the body and it tends to move and flip over to the right, to the left. And one thing, people's feet can get hot. If you're a hot sleeper, just try dangling your feet outside the covers, not inside, and you actually stay cool that night. So if you're hot a lot, just put your feet outside. Don't keep them under the covers and you actually sleep better.
Yeah, you know, that is a really good idea. It's just that those, you know, crazy monsters under the bed that tend to grab your feet in the middle of the night, it's scary. So I try to do that, and then I think of, like, Poltergeist when that clown doll was under the bed, and I whip them right back under the covers. Like, I'd rather be hot.
I have a feeling that describes a lot of listeners because it's the same way. And a big thing I want to mention is nix the electronics. That means no laptop or smartphones for 30 minutes before going to bed. The bright lights and the electromagnetic waves that they emit will keep you awake. If your smartphone offers something called night shift, I know the iPhone does. I'm not sure about Samsung, but use it for your settings because it actually dims it. So that helps as well. So I know everybody likes staring at these, you know, cell phones right in their face and then trying going to bed right after. That's what's keeping them awake.
Yeah, that's me. And I like to watch TV to fall asleep, so I need to work on that, too, and not, because it is, it's, you know, that bright light from the TV, it really disturbs you, so I'm getting better at that.
You're getting better. And, you know, another thing we've talked about a lot is alcohol, which, you know, has its pros, but having a few drinks, it might relax you and make it easier to fall asleep. People that drink alcohol tend to wake up after a couple of hours. Studies show this, so don't drink alcohol past dinner time. And that's important. A lot of people do that wine right there while they're watching TV before bed and wonder why they fall asleep, and then they're up at 3 a.m.
Right. And then that just makes you want to eat. So it's a little vicious cycle there.
Yeah. Anything else you could recommend? What else is good for a sound sleep?
You know, I think, you know, like I was saying a little bit, exercise is something that I've been doing more of. And honestly, I feel like the days that I got to get more exercise during the day, and I, you know, or maybe I just wake up a little bit earlier and I take my dog for a longer walk in the morning before I take my son to school. And it just kind of just gives me a better night's sleep that night. And I am guilty. I don't do enough of it during the day to have it, you know, promote a good night's sleep every single night. But I notice that when I am more active, it does help me a lot. So I think that's a really good thing is, you know, exercise benefits so many ways. Sleep is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and exercise also helps you get rid of stress, which is another reason why people stay up at night. So it'll actually reduce stress. They've proven that, so that's a good point. One other thing my grandma told me, there's two things you don't want to cut corners on, your mattress and your shoes, because you spend most of your life on them. So my next sleep tip is splurge on a smooth or silky sheets and a good quality mattress. Most people we spend one-third of our life in bed. Indulge. Don't get these cheap things as you see it, you know, at Sam's Club. Get a good mattress. It's worth it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I've kind of, you know, added, you know, the cushion covers to my mattress and, you know, done a lot of things, have nice sheets. I mean, I love nice sheets. It does make all the difference in the world. So, you know, I think having a really comfortable place to sleep really does make a difference as well. I mean, all the pets in my household agree. Like, everyone wants to be on our bed all the time with all of us. So it gets crowded. So there is definitely some good bedding going on here.
Great stuff. Well, Kim, I know this sounds weird to say, but I hope this segment puts our listeners to sleep. I've never wanted to say that about a segment, but I'm hoping that's the case today. So that's great. Great information. Now, that concludes another edition of Chew on This. We are your dynamic duo of due diligence, here to help you digest the latest headlines. If you like what you heard today and you want to share this podcast with someone or listen to previous Chew on This podcast that you've missed, go to yourgoodhealthradio.com. Share these segments with your friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. Don't be selfish. This information is too important to keep to yourself. You can also subscribe to our Chew on This podcast at iHeartRadio and iTunes. If you see a headline that you want us to feature or you have a question for Kim and I, you can send those to us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.